morning, our devotional comes from Job chapter 14, verses 1 through 22. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeteth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Will the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground? Yet through the scent of the water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But a man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fell from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps, dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, that the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones, thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth. Thou changest his countenance and sendest him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, and perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to Sunday school.
Our lesson today, if everyone has a book, I believe it's the last lesson of this book. And the title of it is Before I Go. And let's kind of keep the title in our mind there, Before I Go. The reading comes from the 7th chapter of Acts, and also another reading from 2 Timothy, 4th chapter. So we'll begin our reading in the 7th chapter of Acts, verses 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And now, moving on to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the 6th verse, beginning with the 6th verse, this is Paul. And he says, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, we read about these two men in their final hours or days. Stephen had stood before the council in the temple and preached to them about their failures as a nation to uphold God. And he was so reviled that they took him outside the gates of the city and they stoned him to death. And if you remember, he said he could see Jesus standing at the right hand of God as he looked up into heaven before he died. And Paul, we all know what Paul's life was like. You can read that throughout the scriptures. And in his final time, he was taken to Rome and put in prison because he was going to appeal his case to Caesar himself. And when that was done, it came for his time to go. And he knew it. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. He realized that his time was up. Now, you know, we don't all know when our, we don't any of us know when our time is up. But we all are here on earth for an appointed amount of time. However long that may be, we don't know. As Jimmy read in Job, which was our background study, and the first two verses of chapter 14, he says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He, speaking of man, cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. In other words, like a flower, he begins to fade. You know, once a flower blooms, time begins for that bloom, blossom. It will slowly fade away. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down or fades away. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. So that is the plight of all mankind. We're born. We have a allotted amount of time to live on this earth, and then we die. Now, the subject really that we're talking about this morning is not really dying, but living before we die, and what we have accomplished as children of God. Now, I'm going to give a few examples that will lead me sort of into my subject here in some ways. In the second chapter of Luke, right after Jesus was born, he was taken to the temple for the ceremony for the newly born Jewish children. And there was in the temple an older man whose name was Simeon. Now, Simeon had been promised by God that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, is what the scripture says. Now, it's obvious that Simeon had lived a life close enough to God, and he believed so fervently in what God had told him that he had prayed and he was talked up with God, and God said, you'll not die until you see the Savior, until you see the Messiah. And that occurred when Jesus, as a child, as a baby, was brought into the temple. Simeon was promised, and also there was a woman there that not very many people know, and I don't know that I really knew this until I was reading the scriptures. There's a woman there named Anna, who was also allowed to, I think the scriptures, if I understand right, says she was 83 years old or 84 years old or something like that. And she came to the temple and served in the temple, and she got to see the Savior. Now, as other examples, You know, Moses, let's look at Moses' life for a minute. He had a great life. He served God, and he made some mistakes like everybody does. But he was allowed maybe not to go into the promised land, but God allowed him to live long enough that he was taken to a mountaintop and he could look into the promised land. So he lived a life that God blessed him, maybe not with going into the promised land, but at least seeing what all his efforts were leading to. And then John the Revelator was sentenced to death. And being sentenced to death, so history says, or so we find out that he didn't die. They tried to execute him and he didn't die. And so he was put on the Isle of Patmos to live out his time. And God looked down upon him and blessed him and allowed him to look into heaven and see the mysteries and the secrets thereof that we've never seen. But he had lived a life that God blessed him and allowed him to do this. Now, and he chronicled all he saw in the book of Revelation. And I think that was a blessing that came from God because of the life that he had lived for God. You see what I'm talking about? We all have this life to live. And these men and women, they lived their life in such a way that God blessed them for their work. Now we know that Paul was allowed to live long enough that he carried the gospel from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. Can you imagine that in this time when transportation was horrendous to get from one place to the other? That God blessed Paul and blessed us as Gentiles, that he allowed Paul to live long enough that he was able to carry the gospel from country to country until he wound up in Rome. And you look on a map sometime and you see how far Rome is away from Jerusalem, and you think of the trip that Paul made to get to that point. And then after he had accomplished what he had set out to accomplish, what God had for him to do, he said in our lesson today that he had fought a good fight. And in other words, I know my time is near, and I fought a good fight, and I finished my course. He was through, and he knew he was through. And I think history says that they beheaded Paul there in Rome. And his life was taken from him, but not before he had accomplished what God wanted him to do. Now, I say all this to ask a question, to ask this question. I have horrible allergies this weekend, so I say all this to ask this question. Are we, as children of God, doing all we can to fulfill the will of God, knowing we have a limited amount of time on this earth? Are we doing everything that we can do? Because I have just read the part from Job where man has a time frame, and that time frame begins to fade as soon as we're born. As soon as we're born into this life, both male and female are in the beginnings of dying. Now, I don't have any idea whether I'll die here or God will come back before I die. But one way or the other, I'm leaving this world. And if it's by natural death, I don't know when that's coming. I don't know when God's going to be here. It may be another 1,000 years or more before God deems to come back and carry all his children home. But while we're here, we're slowly dying. Now, we have a limited amount of time. We have this limited amount of time. And We don't know how long that's going to be. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. We don't know. But to ask ourselves, have we done in that time that we have we done everything that we can do for God's benefit? Because, you see, I believe that these people that we've discussed this morning, that we've talked about, I believe they all had done what God had wanted for them to do, and He blessed them. And when He was through, and when they had done all they could do, He carried them home, and Paul said that his time here, he had kept the faith. Now, those are strong words. I have kept the faith. I fought a good fight. Can we all say that we fought a good fight? You know, we don't have much time left. There's people in this world that we know that we come in contact with that are lost. We know they are. We've got family members that are lost. Are we doing everything that we can to work and serve God? And when He places something upon our heart to do, are we out doing it? Are we out trying to put it off and see if somebody else will do it better? Well, you're not guaranteed. You're not guaranteed another time. In the fourth chapter of James, and the 13th verse, this is what James says. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So James is warning us that our life is just a vapor. It's just a small amount of time. And there's things that God wants us to do. I believe that. I believe there are things that God would have us to do. And we need to give thought to the fact that God has given us an appointed amount of time. And in that appointed amount of time, I know for a fact that He has something for each of His children to do. He did not just save us to keep us out of hell. He did not just save us to put us into heaven. He saved our souls so that we could be workers for Him, so we could be a part of spreading this gospel to a lost and dying world. Are we doing everything that's possible? With our abilities that we have, are we doing everything for God that is possible? Can we say with a clear conscience that I have fought a good fight? I don't think I can. I just don't think I can say that, because I know that there's many a times in my life when I fail God, when I fail to do what He would have me to do. In the 12th chapter of Luke, let me go over there real quick. 12th chapter of Luke and the 19th verse. This is Jesus talking about this rich man. He says, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now, I think in a lot of ways that I can identify with this man, because I think sometimes that's exactly my attitude almost, is let's not worry about tomorrow. Let's enjoy ourselves. Let's do what we want to do, and in doing this, leaving God out of the matter. Now, I can't say about you guys, but I'm going to have to think we're all kind of like that. We all enjoy going out and having a good time and maybe leaving God out at various and sundry times. But God has a work for each and every one of us to do. And it would behoove us that we strive to do that work. I don't know that Stephen expected to be stoned to death. I don't know exactly what his thought process was. But I do know that he did something that I would think would be extremely hard to do. He stood before the council of Jews and preached Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He did that. They took him out for doing that, and they stoned him to death. Now, I don't know that he saw that was coming. Maybe he did. But whatever he did, I think what God wanted him to do. And I think God was pleased with it. And God was so pleased with it. Now, I realize Stephen had to go through some pain and agony. But I think the grace of God was on him because God was so pleased with him that he let Stephen look into heaven and see them on their throne. Because Stephen said he could see them. And then they stoned him to death. So I think because of his life, the grace of God was there with him. And maybe he didn't feel the pain that we thought he might feel. Maybe God gave him enough grace that he died quickly. I was reading about the people, this is in like Fox's Book of Martyrs, reading about people who were burned at the stake for their belief. And they went to their death praising the goodness of God. And that's God's grace right there. That's where you have lived a life that God looks down upon your life and has mercy and love for you and for what you've done. And so what we need to think about is that we don't want to leave this world with something left undone that God would have us to do. We don't want to leave out something that God wants us to do, because if we don't do it, and God has placed it upon us to do, then who's going to do it? Who is going to step in and take my place? If I fail to do what God wants me to do, he may have somebody, but I'm not aware of it. I'm just not aware of it. So if I don't stand up and take my place before God and do what he wants me to do, then how is it going to get done? And I think I am very amiss at this thought process, knowing that we just have a little time left, knowing that there's an end coming somewhere, wherever that might be. And if there's something that God wants me to do, I best be getting about doing it, because we're not promised tomorrow. It's not there. It's not in the scriptures. Now, I know that there was a time or two in the scriptures where somebody's, I can't even remember what his name was. His life was extended because he asked God. And he lived a life that God was pleased with. That doesn't happen every day. I mean, me going to God right now and asking him to extend my life would be folly on my part, because I know that I don't deserve that. I've not done anything that I'm deserving that God would prolong my life. He would just be giving me more time for me not to do something. He would just be extending my time and giving me this extra time where I would fail him some more. Because that's almost my thought process, is to deny God and his mercy and what he would have me to do. Now, I'm not saying that I fail him every time. I know there's times when he has told me to do something and I have done it. And what blessings we get from doing that. What blessings we get for serving our God. And why are we so remiss in failing to do what he would have us do in the short period of time that he's given us, when the blessings are so great, when the feeling is so wonderful that we get, that we know that God loves us, he's pleased with us, and we're doing what he would have us to do. And so we should strive for that. We need to strive to serve God. The title of this lesson was Before I Go. And he speaks of the movie, the writer does. He speaks of the movie, The Bucket List. I don't know how many saw The Bucket List, but it was a movie about two old men who were terminally ill, and they made out a list of things they wanted to do before they died. And you know, we need to make out this list in our heart of things that God wants us to do before we die, and we need to do that, to take this bucket list that God would have us to do and carry it out, because we owe everything to God. We owe him our service. We owe our very life. We owe the next breath we take to God. So let's remember, we only got a little time left here on this earth. And in that time, we need to be serving God so that we too might be able to say that we fought a good fight and we've run the race, and that we have finished our course and not left anything undone. I think, you know, I'll say this, I'll be through. When Paul died, when they took his life, I think he had done it all. I think he was through. I think he accomplished what God wanted him to do. In other words, as Damien would say, I done, Paul was done. I don't know that I can say that. I don't know that I can say that I finished my course, because I have failed him so many times. But let's kind of get hoped up here, as Brother Massey said. He used to say, let's kind of get hoped up and see what we can do for the Lord. Ask him, is there something you want me to do? Give it to me and I'll do it. And let's go out there and do it. We don't have that much longer to do these things. There's lost out there. There's things that need to be done. There is coming closer together with our brothers and sisters. There's all kind of work out here for us to do. All kind of work. So let's remember to do that. Anyone have anything to say?
Goodness.
Anyone else? Sonny, would you dismiss us, please?